God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen.
Amen.
Well, isn't that a fun gospel passage? Jesus tells the crowds, you know those same folks from last week, he's still out there, another parable. Actually, he tells a few more, but our lectionary cuts them out and makes us wait until next week's episode on the Jesus Channel, which is, you know how I always tell you to look, right? Anytime you see in the notation there that there's a comma, like a few verses and a comma and a few more verses, something's being cut out. Don't worry, you'll hear about those next week. Anyway, this one is about seed for wheat being planted. And then while nobody was looking, weeds were sown in the same area. Now, I think Jesus was actually talking about my garden. Because I swear, every time I get the garden cleared of weeds, they magically appear with a vengeance. I'm telling you, somebody's going out there and doing that. But anyway, Jesus' parable continues, and he says that the farm workers went to the landowner to question whether the seed he had planted was really all that good in the first place. Now that's a whole other sermon right there. And then, to suggest, they get working on those weeds. And the landowner told them all to just chill. Leave the weeds right where they are. Now see, I like this because that is exactly my gardening philosophy. Then later, back at the house, the disciples asked Jesus about this particular parable, not the ones we hear about next week that he also told the crowds, just this one. Apparently mustard seeds and baking and things like that are a lot easier to get our heads around than weeds that are to be left alone. Whatever. So Jesus says, look, it's all going to get worked out in the end, in a really horrific way, but hey, don't worry, be happy. What? Now the problem with all of that, besides the weeping and gnashing of teeth, what is up with the weeping and gnashing of teeth stuff in the Bible? Is that we have really messed up what Jesus is getting at here and become a lot like those eager beaver farmhands. We've turned this parable into a we are good, they, whoever they may be, are bad kind of story. Now maybe it would help us to use the King James version of this in which the word weed was instead tares. Now see, I think that it's important because, you know, when we think weed, I think maybe a dandelion or, you know, some other kind of weed that might come up, right? What is it with in New Jersey, the Russian olives, right? But tares, or darnel, was a weed that grew among the grain, intertwining its roots, and it looked identical to wheat until the harvest, when both produced seed. And at that time, the tares would stand more upright while the wheat would bend. So not like you can look out on your yard, not that I'm mentioning anybody's yard, but I think it would describe mine, where there's loads of dandelions. I can tell a dandelion from a blade of grass. I may not do anything about it, but I can tell a dandelion from a blade of grass. Anyway, this weed is the darnel, or the tares, is still plentiful in the Middle East, and it's also poisonous, making any bread produced from it taste very sour. Now, Wikipedia, the source of all truthful things, right? Maybe not. Anyway, they said Roman law prohibited sowing darnel among the wheat of an enemy, suggesting that the scenario presented here is realistic. So how does thinking about tares make this parable more understandable? Because if this is about tares, and it is, then the parable is pointing to a larger truth than we can get at if the weeds were very distinct from the wheat. See, the thing is, we've often turned this parable into a metaphor for good versus evil and the judgment of one over and against the other, as though they could be separated. As though some people are all good and others are all bad. And we've also turned this judgment thing into a post-death escalator ride. You know, some folks are going up, others are going down. And it can make death look to folks a lot like some sort of audit by the IRS. Which kind of reminds me of something W.C. Fields, the late comic actor, once said just before his death. He was in the hospital and a friend was visiting Fields' hospital room and was surprised to find him thumbing through the Bible. And he asked him what he was doing with a Bible. And Fields replied, "I'm looking for loopholes." This is not about some sort of cosmic thumbs up or thumbs down by God on each of us as some sort of post-death measure of purity and perfection. If it were, we'd all fail. Good and evil, like the wheat and tares, can't be separated. Not in the field and not in us. That was the point of the parable. If we go around looking for enemies, we might just be surprised by where we find them. It's kind of like this quote that there's a fabulous cartoon creation by a fellow named Walt Kelly, started in the 40s and went on for decades, about a possum named Pogo. And I don't know if you remember Pogo. He lived in the steamy Okefenokee swamp with all his other swamp buddies. And in one famous comic strip from the 1970s, Pogo was with another of his swamp denizens lamenting all the trash thrown around by humans into their habitat. And Pogo said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Life and perhaps the afterlife, it's just not that black and white. And while the author of this gospel may have looked at things in this dualistic way, because you'll get a lot of this judgment stuff in Matthew, I don't think God does. The thing is, darkness and light are in all of us. Don't believe me? Watch a Harry Potter movie. Listen to what Dumbledore and Sirius said. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. If we try to rip out the evil, we destroy the good. The struggle for all of us is living in the tension of that in us and around us, and what we do in the context of that. That's the parable of the wheat and the weeds. In other words, what do we do with the crap that crops up around us in our life? How do we respond to it? We're being challenged in this parable to consider where in our lives have we been like the farmhands, pointing out what we believe is bad, and rather than praying and conversing with God about what to do, pronouncing judgment, and then trying to rip the life out of those people, those weeds. Yet if we look down at ourselves a bit more closely, we might find that we are not the pure wheat we thought we were. If we're to judge, then it has to begin with ourselves. But Jesus isn't even asking us to do that. In fact, he's imploring us to leave the judgment in the hands of God. And that's a good thing. Because whenever we have tried to judge another as being good or worthy or whatever, especially when the church has tried to do this, invariably we get it wrong. It's like the old story about a bishop on a trip. I don't know if you've heard the story before, but Bishop Potter was sailing for Europe, not related to Harry, by the way, was sailing for Europe on one of those great transatlantic ocean liners. It was long before the taking cruises were popular. And when he went on board, he found that another passenger was to share the cabin with him. And after going to see the accommodations, he came up to the purser's desk and inquired if he could leave his gold watch and other valuables in the ship's safe. He explained that ordinarily he never availed himself of that privilege, but he had been up to see his cabin and had met the man who was to occupy the other berth. And judging from his appearance, he was afraid that he might not be a very trustworthy person. And the purser accepted the responsibility for the valuables and remarked, "It's all right, Bishop. I'll be very glad to take care of them for you. In fact, the other man has been up here and left his for the same reason." You see, it's not within our grasp to tell wheat from wheat. And when we do, we ourselves are as poisonous as any tare may be to our others and to ourselves. And the reality is, we are both wheat and tare. And there is no such thing as a weedless person. So for us to point fingers, we would have to start with the person in the mirror. And no, it is seldom that we start there, right? Judging others puts us out of step with Christ, the one who called us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love one another as he loved. It is also a misunderstanding of who all of humanity is in relationship with God. Now, to be clear, this does not mean we turn a blind eye to injustice, poverty, and violence in our world. Not at all. It means that when we are confronted with evil, like we heard on the news this morning, where 8 are dead and 30 others are in critical condition after being trapped in a trailer in Texas in over 100-degree heat, victims of human trafficking, our brothers and sisters suffering in the hands of ruthless human smugglers, when we hear that, it means that we respond as Jesus would, standing up for the voiceless, overturning the tables of an unjust world, and ministering to those in need. Pointing fingers, issuing our own condemnation, that doesn't accomplish as much as working to change how it all happened in the first place. Stopping the ones who would spread the bad seed, or better, creating a world where that thought would never cross the mind of or heart of a person. Because the world is filled with a bunch of weedy people, us included, and yet God is hoping we are able to grow into our fullest weedy potential, perhaps by discovering who we really are, because it's the only way to really change the world for the better. And you know who really understood this? St. Paul. In the part of his letter to the Romans today, Paul writes, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Did you catch that? Joint heirs with Christ. Now here's the really crazy thing. God knows that we are both wheat and weed, good and bad, and darkness and light, and if anyone can attest to that, it's Paul. He persecuted the early followers of Jesus, sanctioning the execution of St. Stephen, and was one of the most judgmental, okay, he might argue zealous, people in the early Jesus movement. He was sort of like the person who's quit smoking and goes around to other smokers. That's Paul. He knew he was deeply flawed, writing about it often. And yet here he is saying that we and him are all the children of God, co-inheritors with God's child, Jesus. He's saying that our spirit understands this relationship even if we don't, yearning for that connection with that which is greater than ourselves. St. Paul is talking about the cry of the seeker. And all over the world is filled with seekers. Many of us know and understand that longing. All of us find our own way, seeking, questioning, yearning for something we know is deep down is a part of who we are. And when we're able to hear in our souls the great I love you of God, we bear witness to that love in the way that resonates in our heart. That's why there's so many ways to understand God, so many ways to be in relationship with our Creator. And whichever way we come to understand who we are, the answer from God is always the same. Whether you're a Christian, a Jew, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, it doesn't matter. The answer from God is always the same, that we are deeply loved, unconditionally loved, children and heirs of this kingdom in which all people are welcome, no matter how weedy we have become. The parable of the wheat and the tares is a reminder to us to look no further than ourselves for the intertwined roots of our rather weedy lives, and to just let it be. That the only thing we need to be mindful of is nurturing our own weediness, not looking to tear down the weeds around us. Because as Pogo and Jesus make clear, we usually wind up destroying ourselves. Now the only thing we need to do is to claim our identity, the identity St. Paul is proclaiming, that we are beloved children of the Most High, loved beyond measure, just for being who we are, weeds and all. And to that I say, as St. Paul and Jesus did, let anyone with ears listen. Amen.